Robot Cheetah's Ed Street. This is TwiddleBot.com coming to you on a special edition with the newly appointed ambassador to Washington, Marcin Gegashidze. We're here at the Georgian Foundation for Strategic and International Studies, GFSIS, or as it's often known, Alex Rondelli's place. We're here to talk to Brother Marcin about plans, what's going on with U.S. and Relations, what he intends to do in Washington, and a number of other things. Thank you for joining us. If you can, Marcin, just tell us a little bit about your background, and then we'll go right into the questions.
Thank you, Mark, for inviting me to the show, which many dedicated listeners, both here and especially abroad. And this is a very good source of getting first-hand information or hard information from Georgia. Thank you for that. Well, as for my background, I'm an economic geographer by education. I graduated from Tbilisi State University. I spent a few years in academia after having graduated my university and after having defended my thesis. Then, as Georgia became independent, I joined the Foreign Service, Ministry of Foreign Affairs. It was in 1992. And my old and good friend, now late, Levan Mikheladze, who then served as a head of one of the important divisions in the foreign ministry, invited me to the ministry as his deputy. And since then, I've been in foreign policy in various capacities. So 8 years since then, I worked for the government, and I served at different times as a foreign policy advisor, chief foreign policy advisor, assistant to the head of state on national security. And in August 2000, I quit the government. It was my own decision. And I went back to the academia. I went for one academic year to Stanford University as a Fulbright visiting scholar. And then when I was back to Georgia, this foundation, where we are now, the Georgia Foundation for Strategic and International Studies, had just started its operation. I joined this foundation, and until the last day, until I was appointed as ambassador in March 2013, I worked in this foundation as a senior fellow, together with already mentioned Dr. Alex Rondelli, also Vladimir Papava, Merab Kakulia, Kahagogolashvili, Kamet Trivedi, many others, and of course Timur Yakovashvili. We did our best in order to make this foundation as a great idea, of a serious think tank, become a reality. With the great help, initial help from the US government, within this U.S. Government grant, we were assisted by well-known U.S. think tank Rand Corporation in our institutional building, and programmatic-wise also we have been advised and assisted, and we think that we became quite competitive. We do have our own niche, which means that while helping improve decision-making in Georgia, we do training for public officials from all across the government. Of course, we do research and also public outreach, and we directly or indirectly do influence decision-making in Georgia. So this is about my background.
Well, congratulations on your appointment. Certainly, you've got the experience for the job. Tell us a little bit about your plans in Washington. I mean, what the government of Georgia? I mean, what does the team want to do over the next 2-3 years in Washington. I mean, the relations are already quite strong and have been for quite a long time, but what specifically are you going to be working on?
Well, good question. On one hand, it's very easy to answer this question because, as you already meant in your question, the priorities are already well-defined and identified and defined between our two countries because we've been building these relationships already quite a long time. And these relationships has had evolved into a genuine strategic partnership. And in recent years, these cooperation partnership relationships got institutionalized by having signed a charter about strategic partnership between the two countries.
What that strategic partnership agreement? I don't really understand that. I mean, why is that of value? I mean, there's nothing wrong with it, but why does it? I mean, does having some sort of formal agreement like that give an advantage somehow?
It's it helps to. Put in the right formats the dialogue, the consultations, the cooperation between these two countries in order to more effectively attain the whatever goals we have tactically or strategically in our relationships. So this charter has a kind of four kind of segments.
I mean, I can. My impression is that certainly over the last 9 years or so, the tendency has been to emphasize the informal aspects of the relationship, and nothing wrong with that. But I can see that a little bit of formality could be useful.
You mentioned the last 9 years. You are right that the relationship, the cooperation, had become more kind of personified and friendly, sometimes too much friendly. This is not always sustainable and good for from the long-term point of view. And it is believed here that some of the mistakes which have been made by around the crisis of 2008 was also due to these kind of relationships. And now what is really needed here is to base our relationships on the institutional framework rather than on the personal ties and the friendships.
Fair enough. You said there were four parts of the agreement. What were those?
Well, those are economy, democracy consolidation. This is security, and this is people-to-people contacts.
Uh-huh.
Within these four formats, we do have already well-established channels of and formats of dialogue. And coming back to your question, what the specific tasks or goals would be would the embassy be seeking to achieve? Would be to translate these already well-developed formats of negotiations and dialogue into a concrete, specific programs and projects. And this, of course, would greatly serve to Georgia's enhancing Georgia's security and welfare.
Good. Now, what do you think, forgetting about the former government, just talking about Georgia in general, what do you think are some misconceptions about Georgia in Washington? I mean, that things that people don't understand as well as they should about this country, about this neighborhood, those sorts of things. Do you feel like there's anything like that that you're going to have to correct?
One of the legacies of the past pre-election campaign in last year is the perception of the new government that it might not be as adherent and dedicated to the Georgia's pro-Western orientation as their predecessors. And some even go further and call this government kind of a Russian project and leaning towards Russia and aspiring changing Georgia's foreign policy orientation, which is wrong. So
I mean, there was so much talk about that at the very beginning that I think once everybody realized that it was not particularly accurate, it's almost as if there's been a backlash. I mean, I think that the previous government in the first sort of month or so, they sensed that enough and so frequently and through enough different channels that now, you know, they sort of lost their credibility in, you know, in some ways, at least in that area.
Well, they lost the credibility in terms of providers of the welfare and partly security to Georgia, but not credibility as a pro-Western force.
Yeah, for sure. Certainly.
While the opponents, now incumbents, they are still something unknown for some quarters in the Washington establishment.
Mm-hmm.
And due to, again, the very heavy PR campaign during the pre-election period. So this NPR campaign was, among others, targeted towards promoting this label, this qualification of the Georgia Dream.
Yeah.
And I think that some quarters in Washington still believe, at least for them, the new government is still a big unknown. So
sure.
One of my tasks would be to clarify the genuine aspirations of this new government, how solid this government is about already long time ago identifying foreign policy and goals of Georgia, which has been done back in 90s, not after the Rose Revolution, back in 90s. In mid-90s. So since then, this is a matter of public consensus, this foreign policy orientation of Georgia. And I think that no government will be able or dare to change their policies which go against this public will. And so does the new government.
I mean, on that topic of policies, let's talk a little bit about NATO. I mean, on the one hand, Georgia, you know, there's this talk about sort of, I don't know, you know, getting back Abkhazia. Referring to it that way, I don't like too much. I mean, I think, you know, the Abkhaz see themselves as independent, and I think that, you know, Georgia, the state, and Georgians, the people, are going, you know, they should need to think a little bit more about the Abkhaz people and how
sure.
they look at all of these sort of issues. And they're not so crazy about NATO. And so I think in some ways the joining NATO and, you know, getting Abkhazia back or even improving relations with Abkhaz people it's sort of a false choice. I mean, it's not, you know, you don't have to do one or the other, but there is some sort of connection. And, you know, I think to one degree or another, certainly many Abkhaz do not see NATO as on their side. Another related issue is, you know, a lot of recent comments about the, you know, the previous government, you know, assisting in the training of Chechen rebels and that sort of thing is, you know, when people hear that, I was a little surprised that those sorts of things are coming out. Look, if there needs to be an investigation, have an investigation, but to sort of talk about it before the investigation has started was a little bit surprising. And I can, you know, NATO is such a tight-lipped, sort of solid, you know, entity, and to have, you know, these sorts of things flying around seems a little bit unusual. I mean, how does NATO fit with some of the other, you know, political and strategic goals of Georgia?
Well, answering to the first part of the question, to what extent the attempts of the new government to seek direct ties with the Abkhaz and South Ossetian and de facto administrations and the peoples there. And on the other hand, trying to attain the goal, which means the first membership action plan and then the membership in the alliance. Superficially, these two goals are really incompatible. You mentioned in your question that they Abkhaz, they not fully trust NATO because they are perceived to be friends of Georgia. So here comes the core of this issue and question. Georgia needs to convince the Abkhaz and South Ossetians that it is different from Georgia, what has been in the beginning 90s and throughout the 2000s, that the Georgian state is no longer an enemy for their whatever national goals they might have, and most importantly relating to their identity and economic development. So if and when there is a irreversible trend of trust building between Georgians and breakaway regions, more so if there is a irreversible process of reconciliation, then regardless of Georgia being a NATO member or whatever alliance member, Abkhaz would think twice about their attitude toward Georgia. The main point is to trust the Georgian state as a real democracy, established democracy, successful economically, successful state, provider of jobs, provider of economic opportunities, and most importantly, adhering to all the international norms of protecting human rights, minority rights, whatever rights. I mean, if Georgia is really transformed into a European democracy, we are still post-Soviet, in a post-Soviet stage of development. We still need to become a European democracy. Yes, so we do claim to have a prospect of becoming that, but we first need to get there. So as soon as we are there, then it is our hope, which does not mean that this is 100% the prospect, but this is a hope that Abkhaz and the South Ossetian elites, they may reconsider their attitude toward Georgia, which does not necessarily mean that they will be content of, I mean, again, reincorporating into Georgian state, but at least it will give us another chance for peace and some sort of mutually beneficial talks and dialogue, which is absent these days. Because what we have these days is an ongoing alienation, which is the most important and most dangerous in our bilateral relations with Abkhaz and South Ossetians. If this alienation crosses, I mean, some critical point, then there will be no sense to start any negotiation and talks about some reconciliation. So we need to engage ourselves, Georgians and Abkhaz, Georgian South Ossetians, into a meaningful dialogue before our alienation gets to that critical point. So I think that this perception, this understanding, is in the new government.
Isn't that connected intimately with the Russian language? I mean, young people in Georgia tend not to speak Russian very effectively, and you know, for the most part, Abkhazia and South Ossetia, at least, you know, those who are there, they happen in Russian, and you know, the government's made the decision to have English the obligatory, you know, second language, which I think is great. It's a great way to connect Georgia with the rest of the world, but you know, there's a real issue related to the practicality of them speaking with each other.
Very, very good question. The language of communication is very important. But I would answer this way, that if the process of reconciliation starts now, at least not in distant future, then there is still a chance that our elites will still be able to talk to each other on Russian. But in due course, in the long term, you're right that Russian as a language of communication will be lost. But given the trends, objective trends globally, in terms of spreading of English language, broken English, if you wish, all around the world, Abkhaz and South Ossetians will also one fine day will be able to communicate with the rest of Georgia in English, which is historically may sound or may seem for somebody here unjust or unfair or unwise, but that will be a fact of life.
About Russia, you know, successful small countries are usually good at sort of playing their bigger neighbors off of each other, you know, and unsuccessful small countries usually get sort of crushed between their bigger neighbors. you know, the Kremlin right now is really quite difficult to deal with for practically everybody. Mm-hmm. Is it really possible for Georgia to continue to have the friendly relations that it has with the United States and not annoy the Kremlin? I mean, my impression is that the basic sort of motivating factor of the Kremlin's attitude towards Georgia is, you know, Georgia is trying to do a body dive towards Euro-Atlantic security structures and everything else, and the Kremlin's attitude is, you know, who do you kids think you are? I mean, isn't there sort of a zero-sum game? Isn't the Kremlin sort of turning it into a zero-sum game, or is there a way to negotiate that?
Well, at this stage of global development, when the balance of power is changed as opposed to the situation in the wake of the end of the Cold War in favor of Russia, I mean, and the post-Soviet space, you're right, this is zero-sum. On one hand, Georgia's institutional integration into Euro-Atlantic institutions and full normalization relations with Russia, they are incompatible goals. It's impossible. But in the future, if and when Russia gets more democratized, let's imagine that there will be Perestroika too, or Russian factor will get weaker, for example, and the balance of power will again shift in favor of the West, then I think that Russia will not be able to resist Georgia's Euro-Atlantic aspirations that strongly. Between now and then, and nobody knows when then can happen, Georgia needs to survive, including physically. We are vulnerable on a daily basis. We don't have any legal basis of peace, guaranteeing our peace with Russia. The only document we have is a ceasefire agreement. This is a ceasefire agreement. It's not a peace agreement. Ceasefire agreement, and already violated by Russia. And this is something which put Georgia in a kind of a security limbo. The existing relationship with NATO, they do not provide security guarantees for Georgia. Even existing relationships with the United States, they do not provide security guarantees for Georgia. The only so-called guarantees are security, that we now both sit here and sit this cozy environment and talking about this high politics, is a kind of a gentleness agreement between big powers that let's agree that we disagree about Georgia. But this is gentleman's agreement. This is not normal.
Sounds pretty bleak.
Yeah, from the national security point of view, this is very dangerous. So we need more guarantees. So what the new government tries to achieve here is that, of course, without having any illusions, that keeping Georgia's pro-Euro-Atlantic aspirations, it can fully normalize relations with Russia. No way. And nobody does have that illusion here. Those illusions here. The objectives here is that to put beyond the brackets the red line issues with Russia, which we cannot agree on, and to talk about politically non-sensitive issues such as humanitarian issues, economy, people-to-people contacts, elite-to-elite contacts, different elites to interact with each other, because one of the specificities of Russia's foreign policy decision making is an emotional high degree or higher importance of emotional element in decision making, and this emotional element has been developing between us already 200 years. And one of the irritants for Russians in our pro-Western policies was that all the phenomenon of Georgian, being that Georgian wine, Georgian songs, Georgian resorts, Georgian dance, Georgian food, was becoming inaccessible for ordinary Russians and Russian state. So we want to change this wrong emotional attitude. So we are welcoming Russian tourists. We are welcoming Russian.
And there are a lot of them. I mean, walking right down Rustam Valley right now.
Russian investments. We are open for trade. We are open for people-to-people contacts. So we want to bring back this emotional element, but from the positive side, so that to at least at least diminish and decrease unnecessary tensions. We are changing rhetoric towards Russia. Yes, about red lines, we still have those. Russia occupies our 20% of our territory, and we are for the occupation, whatever. But in the dialogue with Russians, we focus and concentrate on politically non-sensitive issues to bring back this emotional element in favor of at least slightly improving our relations, so that to concentrate mostly on our development agenda. Well, what suffers here is Georgia's development agenda, because the higher the political risk is, the less investments come to Georgia. The more of your resources should be spent on this Georgia-Russia confrontation. So we need to save some of these resources and relocate them on development agenda.
Sounds like a good policy. I hope they go for it, or at least show up. And certainly the Russian health services seems to enjoy coming to Georgia and sampling the food and wine to make sure that it's a satisfactory health quality. Speaking of people to people, a lot of Iranians in Georgia, and of course Iraqis and others, but especially Iranians. And the U.S. Iran is an important policy related to the nuclear weapons. The sanctions are increasingly tight. That seems to be driven particularly by the U.S. U.S. Congress. I personally don't think it's a very creative method to try and persuade the Iranians not to have nuclear weapons, but I don't want to complain about it because I don't really have a better idea. But there are many Iranians that are coming to visit Georgia. A lot of them are just wandering around, spending money and having a nice time and relaxing a little bit in a beautiful place, in a pro-Western place where you can sort of say and do anything you want, listen to whatever music you feel like, and drink anything you want. But some of them are quite interested in investing too, and that's not so easy with the increasing sanctions. Can you envision a possibility of there being a real dispute between the United States and Georgia about its relationship with Iran, or with Iranians coming to Georgia, or not?
I wouldn't expect that there can be, as you use this word, dispute. No dispute. There could be some consultations, some advice, or some questions. And this has been happening already since the 90s, because this kind of dilemma, whether going west or towards the United States, and also building close neighbor relationships with Iran, incompatibility, the elements of incompatibility was felt throughout the past decades here in Georgia, and there had been moments when Georgia government would reconsider their decisions about enhancing and deepening relationships with Iran. Because, of course, our strategic partnership with the United States and the West in general is of higher value than our good and neighbor relations with Iran. But on the other hand, Georgia is a small country in a very complex geopolitical environment, and good neighbor relations with any neighbor matters very importantly for Georgia's national security. So we always we are trying to find this delicate and strike delicate balance between our pro-Western attitudes and building relationships with Iran. Sometimes this balance was distorted to the disadvantage of the interests of the United States. And in those moments, we were approached by the United States by questions or advice. And I think that in most of these cases, Georgian government would take those advices into account and would make appropriate reconsideration of their policies towards Iran.
Okay. So we'll just to wrap things up, we're going to I'll interview you again in a year and a half. Mm-hmm. What are you going to want to have achieved in a year and a half? What do you want to What do you think for that over that time frame? What do you think of the things that you should we should have achieved by then? Recently, the prime minister said MAP, we ought to have a membership action plan by then. I don't know whether that's on your agenda. I mean, NATO is not formally based in Washington. What are the things you'd really like to achieve by then?
There are lots to achieve because the resources which lie within the already well-developed relationship between the United States and Georgia are enormous for Georgia's security and welfare. So huge is the United States as a state, as a provider of both political, economic, and other resources for Georgia's security and welfare. So this is a kind of an ongoing and eternal task of any ambassador or any government in Georgia to achieve higher and higher degree of relationship from the United States. So in a year and a half, what would I would wish to see as a attain goals in our relationships? It would be more investments, U.S. investments in Georgia. Of course, more people-to-people contacts and more American...
When you say people-to-people, you mean U.S.-funded trips, or you mean better visa arrangements, or you mean what specifically?
I mean, more U.S. tourists willing to come and visit Georgia. Many of them come, but we wish even more of them to come. More kind of people-to-people interaction between Georgians and Americans, because throughout the past hundreds of years, so we've been interacting with our neighbors because of geography. But given the rapid development of the communication, transportation, and most importantly, the political developments, the political relationship between our two countries, we would like to see more of Americans here. Of course, we would like to see higher level formats of our trade relationships with the United States. The idea about the possibility of signing free trade agreements is floating around. So we would like to see that idea close to its kind of fulfillment and materialization. We would like to see stronger military and security cooperation between our two countries. It's already very strong, but we would like to see the cooperation even stronger. We would like to see by the time hard security guarantees for Georgia, either through membership in the alliance or some sort of different arrangements on the bilateral basis between the United States and Georgia.
Good. Okay, now, what about traveling in the U.S.? I know your predecessor moved around the country quite a bit. Do you have there any cities you plan to try and visit, either that you have enjoyed in the past, Palo Alto or the Bay Area, or any others? I mean, to talk to people there.
Well, any place in the United States is important for Georgia. If that place, that state, or that region potentially is a provider opportunities for Georgia's security and, most importantly, economic development and also people-to-people contacts. Of course, Washington is very important as a site of my job and operation, but the rest of the United States is no less important. And of course, I would be looking into the possibilities to travel around the country in order to, again, identify the additional resources whichever will serve for Georgia's welfare and security.
On the other side of things, we've got a lot of listeners, Americans, who very much care about Georgia. Any recommendations to them? I mean, how do your average American who's listening in San Francisco or Chicago or Washington or Paris or Kutaisi, who's listening to the show, how could they? What would you like to say to them about doing something good for the Somshoblo? I mean, how can they, do that? What if for people to help you in your task, what would you ask of the Americans that listen to the show?
Well, if they are aware of the aware of Georgia, not the state of Georgia, but the Georgian state.
If they're listening to this, they're aware of Georgia.
Yeah. So I would like them to help raise awareness among their neighbors about in the local communities, wherever they are. What is Georgia? What the priorities are for Georgia? What does Georgia need these days from the United States as a state, from Americans as a people? So that the more and more resources, including people, including investments, are mobilized for Georgia's interests. To spread the word about Georgia, Georgians, and priorities for Georgians. This is, the primary wish I would address to these people, desire. But if among them are ethnic Georgians, but U.S. citizens, then I think that they have even more moral and historic obligation to be closely attached to their homeland and pay more attention to Georgia. So whatever they can, in terms of sharing their resources, intellectual or financial, whatever resources they can share with their homeland, this is something which would be very well accepted here, and then Georgia would be, their homeland would be grateful to them.
Well, remittances are the most effectively targeted aid in the
not necessarily remittances, yeah. But what Georgia needs at the next stage of development is the intellectual resources and import of the know-hows, and many of these Georgians, they do really can really do contribute to this.
Anything else you want to add that you think would be useful for people to know about the U.S.-Georgian relationship or your plans or anything else?
No, I would be very, very, very sure that I look very much forward to take up my duties. I'm looking forward to meeting each and every American who is aware about Georgia, who is willing to be aware of Georgia, who is willing to cooperate with Georgia, or do anything, or charity, whatever, for the sake of Georgia's interests, but not only Georgia's interests, but for the sake of the U.S.-Georgia relationships, because these are very exemplary relationships, I think, and for the rest of the world, I think. Because I don't think that U.S. is as popular around the world as it is in Georgia. So this is something which should be valued.
That's true. That's a good point.
And Georgians do everything possible, whatever they can, in order to support this already. High level relationship between our two countries. If you look at the polls starting from the 90s up to these days, United States is number one, the most desired state, and number one most reliable countries in the world for Georgians. So I do not have an illusion that the same thinking will be in the U.S. Population, that Georgia is the most important country for the United States, but
it is for me.
You're already Georgian, because, by the way, I want to congratulate you with this important day today. As far as I know,
it's my 16th birthday.
The 16th birthday.
That's
here.
Right. I moved to Georgia 16 years ago. Today.
Yeah. You are one of the most well-known Americans. Already Georgian, in Georgia, and I know that many Georgians know you, like you, and love the job you do.
Well, thank you very much. Bogdan Archil, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk to us. I know you're really busy. You're leaving soon. I wish you and your family a great trip and a great stay in Washington, in the Washington area. Best of luck with your work. And like I said, we will be sure to talk to you in a year and a half about the ever strengthening relationship between Georgia and the United States.
Thank you.